Okay, Rabbi Sai, today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph, and we're holding at the very top, brand new Mishnah. And the focus of the Mishnah is going to be on Hilchos Muktzah, and specifically, any person who wants to make a fire on Yom Tov, for instance, to go and cook, which naturally is permissible, but you have to make sure that the Eitzim were, if you will, prepared from before Yom Tov. What is the definition of prepared? That's what our Mishnah is going to discuss. Zok the Mishnah, Mevi'im Eitzim and Hasoda, you want to bring in wood from the field for purposes of making your fire. Min HaMechunas, that's fine, as long as the Eitzim were previously gathered together in a pile. And of course we're not talking about that it's Mechub LaKarka. Mechub LaKarka has to be done before Yom Tov, because that's a meleches oichel nefesh that you can do before Yom Tov, and therefore that is not doche Yom Tov. Even according to Behuda, that holds machshirei oichel nefesh are doche, but only those machshirim she efshe lasoisen me'erev Yom Tov. If you can do it from Erev Yom Tov, you have no heter to go and cut the eitzim on Yom Tov. So Rashi says, therefore, it's talking about tlushim. These are already detached from the ground, so there's no problem of koitzer. The only shaila is a muktzah shaila. So our Mishnah says that as long as they're mechunas b'toich hasod, if they're gathered together, that means that the balabas had in mind, Rashi says, golidaita dolayu samuch ve'ein muktzah. However, if the eitzim were spread out in the field, which means he never gathered them together, they're all just lying haphazardly throughout the field, that means he never gathered them for purposes of a fire on Yom Tov, and they would have a din of muktzah. On the other hand, if it's min hakarfif, karfif we have extensively in Masechtas Erevin, here it means an enclosed piece of land which has a fence around it. If you have such a piece of land with a fence, says Rashi, automatically it's mishtamer. Mishtamer means that there is shmira, it's guarded, if you will, because of that fence. Afil min hamafuzer. So then even if you find that there are eitzim which are scattered around within that karfif, that's enough. They do not have to go and be collected. Why? Because Rashi, because since they are in this mokim hakarfif, mokim hamishtamer, lo hiktsami daita, it never left his mind. It's, we would say today, it's on his radar screen. He knows that within this enclosure, he has a bunch of eitzim spread around. It's on his radar screen, and therefore it's considered to be mizuman and not muktzah for Yom Tov. Divrei Reb Yehuda. Oh, sorry. Afilu min hamafuzer. Says the Mishnah Vayta, Ezeu Karfif. Now, how do you define Karfif? Karfif, we already said, is a piece of land with an enclosure, meaning it's enclosed by a fence. The question is, how far or how near does it have to be to this person's house? So, the Mishnah, Kol she'samach le'ir, Divrei Reb Yehuda. It's got to be close to him. Rashi says, Samach le'ir mamish. In other words, as soon as he goes out of his house, he goes to the outskirts of the city, boom, the karfif is there with his wood. The important thing is, when you enter into this karfif, does it have a key? The word pesachas here means a key, and key of course means that there's a lock. So if there is a lock and key on this karfif, afilu b'toich tchum Shabbos, then it doesn't have to be samach le'ir, even if it's as far away as tchum Shabbos, which would mean 2,000 amas away, it's also fine. It's considered to be mizuman for Yom Tov. Anyway, getting back to the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi will be explored in much greater detail on the second half of the Amud here, the Amud Aleph. In the meantime, first we're going to focus on the Reisha of the Mishnah. Remember we said in the Reisha of the Mishnah, it depends on whether it is in the Soda, then it has to be Minam Chunas, it has to be gathered together. If it's in the Karfif, Afil Minafuzar, even if it's spread out. So it has to have one of these two Ma'alois, either Mechunas, in the field, or it's got to be a Karfif, and therefore Afilu Mefuzar. No, it's going to have both malas. Ein meviim etzim ella mina mechunas in shebekarfif. It's got to be both mechunas and karfif. Now, obviously, that's difficult from our Mishnah. Vanatanam mina karfif afilu mina mufuzarin. Meaning, Shmuel seems to be more machmer than our Mishnah. Our Mishnah requires one of the two elements, and Shmuel requires both mechunas and karfif. Shmuel can argue with the Mishnah. Shmuel holds that our Mishnah is a Das Yochid, that Yochid is Reb Shimon ben Elazar, like we're going to have in the Braisa in another moment, and Shmuel holds that our Mishnah is the Rabbanon that disagree with Reb Shimon ben Elazar. What did Reb Shimon ben Elazar say? On our case of our Mishnah, lo nechliku, there's no machlokes. Ale mefuzarin shebesodoy she'ein mevien. If it has neither of the two malas, it only has chesroinus. Number one, it's in a field, and number two, it's mefuzar. It's spread out in the field. Everybody agrees. Ein mevim, you cannot bring eitzim from that field on yontif for purposes of your fire on yontif. And everybody agrees the other way around. Because you have both malas. You have both that it's a karfif with a wall with a fence. And it's mechunas. So manechlikus. So where's the machloikis? Alam fuzorin shebekarfif, v'al mechunas shebesodis. Oh, like the case of our Mishnah, where the Mishnah said on the top, if it's mechunas shebesodis, or it's mefuzar shebekarfif, what's the halacha? Shebeishami amram lo yavi. No good. According to Beishami, you have to have both malas. Ubeisil amram yavi. Oh, so beisilel. According to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, that's the Tana of our Mishnah. That our Mishnah, when it says you can bring Mechunas min Asadah, Mefuzah min Akarfif, that's the Beis Hillel here in this Braisa. Again, Alibad Reb Shimon ben Elazar comes Shmuel and says, that's Taka the Tana of our Mishnah. However, in an unlisted Braisa, there is a Rabbanan somewhere else that disagrees, and that holds it even according to Beis Hillel. One of the two is not enough. You have to have both. It's got to be both mechunas and in a karfiv. Omer Rava. Rava goes off a little bit on a tangent, and Rava says, until now we were talking about eitzim. Eitzim, of course, are pieces of wood. What about alikonim v'alikvanim? What happens if you have reeds, or you have leaves attached to reeds? Those, of course, are far more flimsy than pieces of wood, in the sense that afal gavne mechanfilu, even if they happen to be gathered together, umoisvi, and they're all sitting together in one pile, kiven de imidli zika mevadalehu, since all you need is one gust of wind to come, one large draft, and give a blow, guess what happens? All of these alikonim and aligafanim will quickly no longer be in a nice, beautiful heap, but they're going to be spread out. They're going to be mefuzar. Says Rava, ki mefuzar in tamu. So therefore, even if momentarily, at the time that you're looking at this pile of reeds, they're all nicely stacked one on top of the other, since all the Kodesh Baruch Hu has to do is bring a sudden wind from nowhere and give one blow, and what will happen then? All of these will be mefuzar umefurad beinu amim, or at least in the field. Asurin. Then they're awesome. The asnach may esmol alayu. But there's an eitzah. You can go and put on top of them a paperweight. Or for that matter, a reed weight. Put a weighty object on them so that they will not scatter with the first wind. Shapredam, then they're okay. Then it has the status of mechunas. Because in fact they are mechunas. It's just that the wind could blow them apart. You put on a heavy object, the wind will not blow them apart. Okay, so bottom line is, we started off the Mishnah saying you only have to have one of the two malas, either mechunas in the soda, or mefuzar in a karfiv. Either of those two cases, you could bring the eitzim, they're considered to be mizuman and not muktzah. Shmuel said that that's only a das yochid, but really the halacha is that you need both mechunas and in a karfiv. Now we go to the second part of the Mishnah. Second part of the Mishnah was a machlokes of Yehuda Rabbi Yosi. Gemara asked with the Mishnah, let's go back to the Mishnah for a short moment. A zeu karfif, what's the definition of a karfif? We're not defining a karfif, but which karfif is such that even though you have eitzim mefuzor, they're scattered around, you're allowed to bring in those eitzim. Rabbi Yehuda says it's gotta be samach le'ir. And Rashi says samach le'ir mamish. As soon as you leave the gates of the city, boom, your karfif is right there, and it has a wall, it has a fence, it's mishumar, you can bring in those eitzim. Or Rabbi Yosi said, it really depends if it has a key or not. If it's got a lock and key, then you do not need it to be samach le'ir, even if it's as far away as the Tchum Shabbos, which means 2,000 amas away. So now the Gemara wants to understand what are the different viewpoints of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. The Gemara is going to first give two possible options, and then the Gemara is going to answer and say, in fact, it's neither option one nor option two, but rather it's a hybrid, it's going to be option three. So let's see. Ibailu. Heichi ka'amar. When Rabbi Yehuda said in our Mishnah that a karfif is kosher samach le'ir, did he mean kosher samach le'ir v'hu de'islei poisachas? It's got to have both malis of number one, a karfif. Until now when we spoke of malis, we were talking about mefuzar and mechunas. We're leaving that, those malis, because we're talking about karfif. And karfif, we said in our Mishnah, even if it's mefuzar. So that's not an issue. We're not worried about mechunas and mefuzar anymore. But we're talking about the karfif now. And the Gemara wants to know, in understanding what the karfif is, or what the halachic parameters are. Zheichik Omar. Koshes amach le'ir v'hud isle poisachas. Is it that Rabbi Yehuda requires, again, two ma'alois? The two ma'alois now are, it's got to be number one, a samach le'ir, and number two, it's got to be that it has a fence with a gate with a key. In other words, a key and a lock and key. Is that the requirement? Now, if you're wondering, how come, if that's the case, Rabbi Yehuda didn't mention v'hud isle poisachas? He only mentioned samach le'ir, says Rashi, because it could be that the standard karfif had a lock and key. If you own a piece of property and you have a fence around it, logically, you don't want thieves to get in, you don't want animals to get in, so there's a lock there and there's a key. So even though Rabbi Yehuda didn't mention the lock and key, then that's a double poshet. Rashi says, stam karfifois have a lock and key, and that's why he didn't even mention it. So according to this first pshat, Rabbi Yehuda requires both a samach le'ir and poisachas. V'os Rabbi Yosi l'meimah, kim de'isle poisachas, afilu b'toich t'chum Shabbos, nami. Rabbi Yosi says, I only need one requirement. Only poisachas, that it has a lock and key. If it has a lock and key, even if it's up to 2,000 amas away, that's fine. That's considered to be muchan umezuman l'shabbos. Now, although the Gemara doesn't mention it, Rashi says, you see, there's a very long Rashi, and Rashi says that Rabbi Yosi also means the other way around. And that is, that if it's less le poisachas, if it does not have a lock and key, then Rabbi Yosi agrees, then it's got to be somuch le'ir, just like Rabbi Yehuda said. So now let's review clearly. What's the machloikas according to this first option? According to the first option, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you always have to have both. Both means, number one, it's got to be samach le'ir, and number two, it's got to have poisachas, it's got to have a lock and key. If you have both of those, says Rabbi Yehuda, it's considered to be muchan umezuman, and you can use the eitzim on Shabbos. Rabbi Yosi, on the other hand, comes to be makel on both sides. Both sides meaning on both requirements. Number one, he says, it doesn't always have to be a samach le'ir. If it has poisachas, that's enough. One of the two is enough. Or on the other hand, if it doesn't have a poisachas, then samach le'ir is enough. But the point is, they only need one out of the two. Either samach le'ir or poisachas, but not both. So that's the first way of learning pshat in the Mishnah. Oy dilma, hagi kamar. Maybe pshat is asoy. Kol shesamach li'ir bein de isli pesachas bein de lesli pesachas. Not like we learned until now that Rabbi Yehuda requires both. What Rabbi Yehuda is saying is the only thing I look at is samach li'ir. Pesachas yo pesachas nisht makes absolutely no difference. Kol shesamach li'ir. Bein de isli pesachas, bein de lesli pesachas. Pesachas is loimale v'loimoyded. It's irrelevant. I only look at the closeness to the city. Kosher samach le'ir, that is considered muchan umezuman. Rosh Yerushalayim Eimar. Afilu b'toyt chum Shabbos. It doesn't have to be samach le'ir. It could be far away. How far? Up to 2,000 amas. The afka de isli poisachas, but dafka if it has a poisachas, if it has such a lock and key, avlesli poisachas, if it doesn't have a poisachas, afila samach liir nami loy, even if it's close to the city, gunished. So restating Rabbi Yosi in other words, what Rabbi Yosi is saying is, I don't care about samach liir. I only care about poisachas. If it has a pesachas, then it could even be b'tech tochum Shabbos, 2,000 amas away. If it doesn't have a pesachas, it could be samach le'ir. Gunish ve'et, it's irrelevant. So according to this new option, or according to the second alternative in the Gemara, the machloikis is that Rabbi Yehuda says, the only thing that counts is samach le'ir. Pesachas yo, pesachas nisht, irrelevant. I don't care about Pesachas. I only care about Samach Le'ir. On the other hand, what does Rabbi Yosi say? Rabbi Yosi says, I don't care about Samach Le'ir. I only care about Pesachas. If there's a Pesachas, it's Muchan Umezuman. If there's no Pesachas, it's Gunished. Okay, so I have clearly two different Pshatim. According to, let's just summarize again. According to Pshat number one, according to Reb Yehuda, you have to have two malas. It's got to be both samach le'ir and poisachas. Says Reb Yosi, you only need one mala. Either samach le'ir or poisachas is enough. That's the first view. The second view of the Gemara, the second alternative is that according to Reb Yehuda, the only thing that counts in town is samach le'ir. Poisachas is of absolutely no relevance. What Rabbi Yosi says the other way around. The only thing I care about is Pesachas. Samach Le'ir is irrelevant. So, what's stack of the machloikis in the Mishnah? Toshima. So we're going to be medayik from the Lashon of Rabbi Yosi, not only as to what Rabbi Yosi holds, but also as to what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Since Rabbi Yosi says anything that you go in with a Pesachas, even b'tech tum Shabbos, Shema mina Rabbi Yosi tar to the kula ka'omer Shema mina. I see Rabbi Yosi is going tar to the kula. Meaning, Rabbi Yosi is like we explained in the first Ikar Yamri, or the first alternative. What was that? That Rabbi Yosi said, as long as you have one of the two is enough. So Rashi says, how do I know that that's the pshat in Rabbi Yosi? Since he says, kol shenichnosen loy b'pesachas, the kol sounds like, the important thing, if you can go with pesachas, afilu b'tok tchum Shabbos, even tchum Shabbos is enough. But if it didn't have a pesachas, then even samach le'ir, one of the two is sufficient, you don't have to have both. Shema mina Rabbi Yosi tar to the kula ka'amar, tar to the kula means, you don't have to have both Pesachas and Samach Le'ir, one of the two is enough. If you can get in with Pesachas, fine, that's wonderful. Then you don't even need the Samach Le'ir. Even Tchum Shabbos is enough. That's the Mashmoy's Koshin Nechlos and Pesachas. If you can get with the Pesachas, that's great. Even, you don't need the Samach Le'ir. And, what happens if you don't have a Pesachas? Oh, then you would need Samach Le'ir. So one of the two is sufficient, like Rabbi Yosi said in the first Lashon. On the other hand, although the Gemara doesn't address it, Rashi says that from Rabbi Yosi I can also derive or infer what Rabbi Yehuda holds. And it's not like Rabbi Yehuda of the first Tzad, It's Rabbi Yehuda of the second tzad. Then what did Rabbi Yehuda say? That Rabbi Yehuda said in the second tzad, the important thing is samach l'ir. I don't care yom poisachas, nish poisachas. The important thing is samach l'ir. On that, Rabbi Yossi said, no. You cannot go and tell me the important thing is samach l'ir. It depends if it has a poisachas or not. If it has a poisachas, I fill it chum Shabbos. So it's apparent, says Rashi, that Rabbi Yossi understood Rabbi Yehuda like the second son. Not that you require both. And Rashi says, maybe Taka, if you're saying that Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi Yossi of the first son, then why don't we say it's Rabbi Yehuda also of the first son? Says Rashi, because if you have Rabbi Yehuda of the first son, what does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda requires both. Both Poisachas and Samach L'ir. See, if that's how Rabbi Yossi understood Rabbi Yehuda, that you need both, then why does he start off? Rabbi Yossi, Oyim Ekosh Nechnosel Poisachas. Rabbi Yehuda already said parenthetically that you need Samach L'ir and Poisachas. All Rabbi Yossi should have said is, Afil B'Toch Tchum Shabbos is enough. If he had heard from Rabbi Yehuda that you require both Samach L'ir and Poisachas, then Rabbi Yossi should simply have said, no. Important thing is Chum Shabbos. In other words, I don't need the Poisachas. Because Rabbi Yehuda, or if I have the Poisachas that Rabbi Yehuda was referring to, I don't need both Poisachas and Samach L'ir. Fill it with Chum Shabbos. The fact that he repeated, or the fact that he said, is the chassimin that Rabbi Yossi heard from Rabbi Yehuda, not that you require both, but you only need samach l'ir. Says Rabbi Yossi, oh, you only need samach l'ir? You're wrong. The important thing is the poisachas. If it's poisachas, you don't need samach l'ir. If there is no poisachas, then you need the samach l'ir. Shmamina. So come to Chayth, therefore, that the Machloikis in our Mishnah, it's Rabbi Yehuda according to the second version, where Rabbi Yehuda, the important thing is Samach L'ir, Poisachas is irrelevant, while it's Rabbi Yossi according to the first version. What did Rabbi Yossi say according to the first version? That either one of the two is fine. Either Samach L'ir, even if there's no Poisachas, or there's a Pesachas, it's not Samach L'ir. If we had more time, it would be kedai to go through the whole Rashi. It's a beautiful Rashi, but Rashi starts, about a quarter from the top of the Amud, goes down all the way to Masnisin down below. It's a nice long Rashi, but he goes through all the first option, the second option, and then finally the Teretz of the Gemara. So we have three different approaches in the Mishnah, and the third approach is a combination of Rabbi Yossi of the first version and Rabbi Yehuda of the second version. How do we paskin Om Rav Salah Om Rav Yirmiya Halacha K'Rabbi Yossi L'Hakku? We paskin Rabbi Yossi L'Kula. What says L'Kula? Like the Gemara just explained, one of the two. As long as it's either Samach L'Ir or Yesh L'Pesachas, that's enough to consider the Eitzim to be Muchan Umezuman, and you don't have a Muktzah issue. And we go on to the next mission. So the Mishnah Baita. Ein Mavakin Eitzim Loimen HaKoyrois, Veloimen HaKoyrish and Ishbra Biyantiv, Vein Mavakim Levekardim, Levegerav, Lemamagal, Elebekupit. When we talk about Eitzim, typically we mean pieces of wood that were either fell off or that resulted from the chopping down of a tree, or the chopping down of one or two branches. Right? You have pieces of wood that you want to use for firewood. When you talk about Eitzim and HaKoyres, and the Koyres and Ishbayont, we're talking about a beam. Beam, by definition, means it's a processed piece of wood. Lumber. Oh, lumber like you see in a lumber yard, or that you would see at a construction site, where they have tons of planks, boards made out of wood, and that's lumber. That's not an unprocessed branch that fell off a tree. You're talking about lumber. No, lumber usually is intended for construction, and if it's intended for construction, by definition, it would typically be muktzah. So, the Mishnah begins, Ein mevaken eitzim lena kares. Don't go and cut eitzim from kares. You have these lumber beams that were used or are intended for construction. Don't on Yom Tov take out your hatchet and start cutting it into smaller pieces of wood to put into a fire. It's Motzah. And not even a koira shenish b'yontif, that means that you had a koira that broke on its own. It was on a ceiling, it was on top of a roof, came a wind, it fell down, and it broke, and now it's in pieces. So I think to myself, this is not going to be used anymore for construction. This koira is now broken. So, says the Mishnah, Ein Mevaken, you cannot go and cut up pieces from this koira and put it into the fire, because this is a, if you will, a nolan situation. It's even worse than muktzah, because Erev Yontif, it was a good piece of lumber. So it was iskatzoi lebein hashmoshes, iskatzoi lekuliyoyma, even though its status changed during Yontif, it's muktzah. Ein Mevaken. And then the Mishnah continues on. I'm very pleased that you asked this question. The Gemara is going to address this, and Mir Tashem, as soon as we get to the Amud Beis. Very good. And the Mishnah continues, V'ein Mevaken Le'Mekardim Le'Megeder. If you are chopping wood on Yontif, you cannot use a kardim. A kardim is an axe. V'loy the Megeder, and not a saw. V'loy the Magal, and not with a sickle. Ele B'Kupitz, but rather with a meat cleaver. Now what's going on over here? You're going to go and chop wood with a meat cleaver? And the answer is yes. The reason is because we don't want this to look like an uvda dechoil, and in particular we don't want this to look like an uvda deuman. All of those things, if you use either a kardim, a megero, or a magel, that's what the umanim are the professionals, use when they are fashioning kalim, or putting together the lumber. That's what they would normally use. By using those on Yontif, it looks like you're oise by malacha. It looks like you're an uman, a professional, working in your workshop, and that you are producing a finished product, a manufactured product. So that's awesome. Like we've had numerous times over the last few days, anything that looks like, smells like, acts like, there's a perception of uvde dechoil, that the person is acting like you would act during the week, that's prohibited. But if you're using a kupitz to go and cut wood, that is about as amateurish as you can expect. You go and use a meat cleaver to go and cut meat and to cut bones, but not to cut wood, and so therefore that's enough of a shinui that it's not a moleches uman, and that's permitted. Now, before we turn the page, what the Gemara is going to ask is something very elementary. We have l'chayr a stira, a contradiction between the Reisha and the Sefer. The Reisha says, ein mevakin, period. You're not allowed to be mevakin. No ifs, whats, or buts. No exceptions to the rule. And then the Mishnah says, oh, by the way, ein mevakin l'mekarav l'mekarav l'mekarav, but you can use a kupitz. How can you use a kupitz? We just said ein mevakin. And that's the Gemara's kasha. Freit Gemara v'amris, didn't we just say in the beginning of the Mishnah of Amos Reisha, ein mevakin klal, zero. And now you're telling me, no, you can't be mevakin mit a kupitz. Make up your mind. Is Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, chsur mechsur v'hochik tani. We have to go and add a few words to the Mishnah, either literally to add a few words, or at least in the pshat. We have to add, whatever you see in the Gemara, chsur mechsur v'hochik tani, either it means that you should amend the Mishnah by taking your pen and filling in these words, or it means parenthetically when the Tana of the Mishnah spoke in very succinct language, with the expectation that you'll understand this on your own, and you don't have to physically go and modify the Mishnah. But what does it say? It says, if you know Mishmuch, so Mechzbach Ketani, Eim Avakin, Eitzim, Min Hasavar Shel Koirois, that what's a savar shel koiris? Rashi says savar shel koiris means when you have lumber which is nicely stacked one on top of the other. If you are going and cutting, you want to go and cut off wood, no, you cannot take him in a savar shel koiris. V'loi, and also not, for in the koiris shenishva biyantif. even if the koira has broken on Yantif. Now you remember that Brother Shai asked on the Yomid Aleph, I don't understand. If it says, Ein mevakin min ha-koirois, why does it have to say, Vloy min ha-koirois shenish b'yantif? What do you need the two cases for? And Rashi addresses this issue, and Rashi says, it's a zu ve'ein tzorach loy marzu. If you go look at the Rashi starting at the top, V'amis reisha im evakim klal, Sovra, at this point in the Gemara is assuming that we're not talking about Hilchos Mukta. We're talking about Hilchos Tircha and Malacha Yeseira, or Tircha Yeseira. See, Sovra, top line of the Rashi. Sovra, the time of the Masisa Lamishim Mukta, Tana Beresha Eim Avakin Eitzim. We assumed initially that it's not because of Mukta concerns. Elamishim Malacha V'Tircha. You're not allowed to do Malacha. If you are going and chopping up pieces of lumber, that's a ganze Malacha. And that's the problem. You're not allowed to go. It's an uvda dechoil situation that you're doing malacha. It's not the classic one of the lamites malachos, because there's nothing prohibiting you from cutting things on Shabbos or on Yontif. Are you allowed to go and cut up your challah? Of course you're allowed to cut up your challah. Otherwise, how would you eat the challah? Are you allowed to go and cut up your roast beef and cut it into pieces? Of course you are allowed to. So, what's the problem in cutting up wood which is tolush? The reason is because it's a malocha, it's a groisa tircha. So that's why it would be prohibited on Yontif. You cannot go and bivak eitzim neither from the koiris which were broken on Erev Yontif. So, again, what the Rashi is saying is that according to the Havamina, before we got to Rav Yehuda Mishmur, when they said in the Mishnah, Ein Mavakin, we assume that means Alts Malach. And if it's Alts Malach, it makes no difference whether this was a Koira, Hanishbar Me'erev Yontif, when there's no Mukta issue, but there's an issue of Malacha and Tircha. And certainly, if it broke on Yontif itself, then I have, coupled with the Malach and the Tircha, I have another problem of Mukta. So therefore it's Zu Be'ein Tzarech Loim Zu. So that's the ratio of the Mishnah. You're not even Mavakeh at all because of Malacha considerations. But the Sefer says you can, as long as you use a kupit. Between me and you, if you're going to use a kupit to go and cut up wood, it's going to be more tircha. It's going to be more malacha. Because it's easier to go and cut a piece of wood with a saw or using an axe as opposed to going using a meat cleaver. Go outside and try to go and cut down a tree with a meat cleaver. And people look at you, you're crazy. It's going to take forever. So even more tircha. Yet the Mishnah says, meat cleaver is okay. That, you can use that. That's not a problem. Good. Again, so let's start from the top. Frank Dimar, you said in the beginning of the Mishnah, Ein Mevakin Klal, zero, nothing, no tolerance policy, no Mevakin. And that's because of, we thought, Malachi Yisera. And then we say in the Seif over here, but you can use a kopet, is a chastira. Om Ravira Mishmuch, Zerum Mechzavach, Yitani, add a couple of words. Ein Mevakin Menasav Shal Kodesh. Don't go and chop wood from a stack of wood which is piled. Aha, okay, that's obviously Muktzah. And that's Mukta Machmas Chisoroin Kis, which we said yesterday in the Gemara that even Rav Shimon would agree is Mukta. And even if the Koira broke on Yontif, so therefore there's no longer a Mukta Machmas Chisoroin Kis, it's still Osir because Migud is Katsoy Lebein Hashmoshes, it's Katsoy Lekula Yoima. So those two are totally prohibited. Full-fledged koiris which are piled one on top of the other, and even a koiris which broke today, that's osur. Not because of malacha, but because of mukta. So therefore we are now changing our approach. Rashi said at the top, Sovra, we thought that the reason was because of malacha yaseira. No, no, no. The Rashi is talking about mukta concerns. Either mukta machas chasar and kiss, or mukta because it's katzoy le benish moshes, it's katzoy le kuli yoyman. But now we're adding the words of Mavakim and Akoyish and Nishbu Me'erev Yontif, if in fact it was already broken from Erev Yontif. So therefore this Korah was not intended any longer for building purposes. You could not build with this Korah even if you wanted to. It's broken! And it was broken already Erev Yontif. So therefore, L'chayre, it's Muchon Umezuman for a fire. No mukza considerations. Nevertheless, says the Mishnah, why? Because we do not want this to appear to be a meleches uman, and we don't want this to appear to be a melacha yaseira, that the person is working. You know, if you see a person who's chopping up, even if it's broken lumber, the average individual says, Sechyontif. This person should be in shul davening. This person should be singing halal with the tzibur. This person should be at home making kiddush or in the sukkah. But he shouldn't be chopping up wood. Little do they know that this wood was already, of course, broken from Erev Yontif. It's not muktzah, and he's using it for his fireplace to be able to cook the food that he wants to eat on Yontif. So we don't want it to look like Uvdad Choy, we don't want it to look like Uvdad Yuman. If he's cutting it with a meat cleaver, anybody, oh, I see what Yankel is doing. He needs some wood for the fireplace, for his, he needs some wood for his oven, and he doesn't have, so he took his meat cleaver to go and cut up and chop up a couple pieces of wood for the oven. Ah, so therefore, the Reisha and the Sefer is no longer a stira. The Reisha is talking about that it was totally muktza, either because it was lumber, or even if it was lumber that broke on Shabbos, but it's muktza from Benish Moshes. There you cannot go and cut at all, zero. And the Seif is talking about that it broke already from Erev Yontif, so there's no muktza consideration, but we don't want it to look like a Maisa Uman, so therefore we say, don't use an axe, and don't use a sickle, don't use a saw, only use a meat cleaver. Tana Mihochi, Ein mevaken eitz lim and asavish lekoyvlim lekoyish shenishma biyantiv. You know why? V'isha einam in a muchan. Oh, so that's now exactly like we learned pshat in the Reisha of the Mishnah, that when it says koyres, it means savish lekoyres, stacked koyres. Obviously, these are intended for construction purposes. Lim lekoyish shenishma biyantiv. If it broke only on yantiv, it's mukta. So ein mevaken klal zero. And then the Mishnah continues on. V'loy bekardim. This is an interesting expression, nakfus and zachrus. We had this earlier on in our mesechta, when we were talking about whether wood is mekabel tumma or not. We had the shaft that was attached to the arrow, and we said that sometimes it's the handle that has the hole in it, and sometimes it's the arrow that has the hole in it. We spoke about this back in Masechta Sukkah. Legabi, whether you're allowed to use those handles for schach on top of the sukkah. So the nakfas over there was that the handle had a clay kibble, and the zachrus means that it did not have a clay kibble. Forget it was in the upper part, in the arrow part, which was metal anyway. There it had the hole and the clay kibble. Anyway, that's not the pshat in our Gemara. Here we're not talking about nakvas yokle kibble, nishkle kibble, because we're not talking about dinim of tumma v'tahara. But rather what we're talking about, what looks like a maisa uman, what does not look like a maisa uman. So, in terms of the construction of a kardim, kardim is an axe. Even today, a kardim has two sides to it, if you will. Two sides mean the one side which is the blade, which you use for the chopping, and then on the other side, it's thicker. That thicker part on the back of the kardim, on the back of the axe, that Rashi says that's called the nakvus shibai. The zachris is the thin, nice blade in the front of the axe, which you use for the chopping, for the cutting. So Loishana, when it says in the Mishnah that you cannot use the kardim, is when you're using the nakvus part. Because when you use the nakvus part, says Rashi, that is doyima lemelechas uman. When you use the zachrus part, then that is mutter. If you look at the Rashi, Rashi is about two or three lines higher than where we are in the Gemara. Loishana elemenakvus shaloi, beroish harochav on the other side of the axe, on the thicker side. When you go and cut the eitz with the tzad nakva shabai, the thicker blade, that's meleches uman. On the other side, parosh hakotzer, where it's thinner and it's presumably a sharper blade, shemavakam eitzimuta, that would be permissible. So the rochav is the side which is the meis uman, the kotzer is the side where it would be mutter. Says the Gemara, even though the Mishnah said loy bekardim, which sounds like no kardim under any circumstance, says Rav Chinna bar Shalmi, Mishmei derav, no. Only the nakvis part looks like a maisa uman, and that's prohibited. On the zachris part, it's mutter. Preiter Rav Pshita, that's l'chayra dover pashit, because bekupitznan, the Mishnah says you could use a kupitz. And Rashi says kupitz is kula zachrisi. Kupitz on both sides, it's a thin side, a thin blade, not a thick one. So both sides of it are zachris. And therefore, since the Mishnah says you can use a kupitz, and kupitz l'chayra, the reason is because it's zachris, so then, isn't it obvious that you're allowed to use the kardim b'tzad zachris shaboy? So Simon, it's not so simple. It's not poshut. Now to say, mani mila kupitz l'chudei, I would think only a kupitz you can use, because a kupitz is in fact zachris on both sides. Avokardim v'kupitz means a kardim that has two sides to it, one which is zachris and one which is nakvus. Since we already said that the tzad nakvus of the kardim is asur, I would think haigisa nami asur, that the chachamim would asur the kardim on both sides. Because after all, to go and say, yes, you can use an axe, but only one side and not on the other side, how many people are going to know all the details and will know to differentiate and distinguish between one side and the other? They'll hear that the rabbis permitted you to use an axe on Yom Tov. They'll say, well, what differences make? This side, that side, that side, this side. It's all the same. It's an axe. What are you causing me all these tourists? So therefore, I would think that the Chacham made a blanket rule across the board that both sides are asur. Kamashul, and that's the Chiddush of Rav. Know that even though the Mishnah says leva kardim, but on one side of the kardim you can use, which one? The tzad zachrus shabai. The Ikad, others had the same discussion, but not on the kardim, but on the kupit. The Ikad, the Masti lo ha-sefer, says the Mishnah eleba kupit. Rav Chinna bar Shalmi, Mishmei derav, lo yishonu eleba zachrus shalai, av benakish shalai is asur. Now Rashi says over here, that even though we said higher, that kupitz is kula zachrisi, sometimes they made the kupitz also with zachris and nakfus, a thinner side and a thicker side. Ooh, not your standard kupitz, but an exceptional, extraordinary kupitz that has a zachris side and a nakfus side. So this version of Rav says, when are you allowed to use the kupitz only? Tzad zachris. If you're using the tzad nakvus, that looks like a maisa uman, and it's awesome. Says Imor Pshita, of course that's the halacha, because there's evaloi b'kardim tonight. Since it says in the Mishnah, kardim is osur, and the kardim has on it the nakvus part, which is the maisa uman part, and so therefore, that's the reason why kardim is prohibited. So then, the nakvus part of the kupitz is just like the kardim. And therefore, it makes sense that it should be prohibited. What's the chiddush of Rav? Says Yom Ha'badu, same honey, mean a kardim. That's only a kardim. Because the kardim is a kli that is used for a maisa uman. I have a kupitz of a kardim. If I have a kupitz, which is partially shaped like a kardim, where one side of the kupitz is the thinner blade, and one side, like the kardim, has the thicker blade, I mean it's the nakvus, even though your typical kupitz, Rashi said before. It's kula zachris. But if you have such a funny kupitz that's both kupitz and kardim together, I would say, once the rabbi said that you can use a meat cleaver, which is such an unusual way of cutting wood, that's certainly not a maisa uman, that is about as amateurish as you can get, so I would think it makes no difference which side of the meat cleaver. When's the last time you saw people cutting up wood with a meat cleaver? It doesn't make a difference which side, it's always mutter. Kamash Vulan, that's the Chiddush of Rav, according to the new version, according to the Ikka d'Amri, that even in the kupitz itself, there are limitations. It's not that you can use both sides of the kupitz, but only the tzad zachrus shabai. So what's the nafkimina, therefore, between the two lishoinis of Rav? According to the first lashon of Rav, even though we said in the Mishnah, the only thing that you can use is the kupitz, not the kardim, said Rav, no, you can even use a kardim, but only on one side. Which side? That's the tzad zachrus shabai. According to the second tzad of the Gemara, what the Gemara is saying is, even though the Mishnah said you can use a kupitz, don't think you can use both sides of the kupitz. You can only use the tzad zachrus. If you have an extraordinary meat cleaver that has a tzad nakvah shabai, you can't use the nakvah, you can only use the zachrus. So therefore, we're limiting the heter of the Mishnah legabe the kupitz. So we're really, Rabbi Isai, we're really on the cutting edge when we're talking about either the axe or the meat cleaver as to what is permissible and what is not permissible on Yom Tov. On to the next Mishnah. Ba Yishuhu Moli Peiris. You have a house that has in it, it's apparently a storage house of some sort, a chwaisa shed, where you're holding on to Peiris. And Vinifchis. And the house partially collapsed on Yontif, so that at this point there's a nice hole in the wall where all I have to do is put my hands in and extract the fruit. The Mishnah doesn't address, nor does Rashi, but apparently if the building had not collapsed, this person did not have access to the house and to the fruit. Perhaps it was under lock and key and he couldn't find the key. He lost the key. Whatever it happens to be. But the point is that the only way he's now able to get to the Peiris is because the Nifchas, part of it collapsed and there's now a hole. I see, Brother Shah, you have a question?
No, I'm just going to wish it a Shabbos.
Oh, you're leaving us prematurely?
Yeah, but the Sunday in person?
Sunday in person in Mi'ertz Hashem at Rabbi Warren's Besmedish. We look forward to seeing you Ponim El Ponim. Have a beautiful Shabbos. Sagi Mech. Thank you for joining. So getting back to the Mishnah. So the bias was the type that you cannot enter into. Apparently the person lost the key. However, Nifchas, Baruch Hashem, twice Baruch Hashem, I don't know, everything is Baruch Hashem, of course. But some of the bricks fell out, and now there's a hole. Says the Tanakhama, Noitu Mamakam Pchas, you're allowed to take those payers. The obvious question is, how can you take those payers? If the person on Erev Shabbos had no access, then it's impossible to get into the house unless you broke the door down, or unless you broke the house down. And that being the end, that's certainly prohibited on Yom Tov, that's stira. And we had a discussion earlier this week with Barry, when the stira has to be only for purposes of binyan, or not for purposes of binyan, meaning that if the stira allows you to subsequently be bona, that's great. For instance, if you took some of these bricks because you want to build a new structure, so that's stira almanas livnois, that would certainly be an iser diaraisa of lamed tes melachos. And even if it wasn't almanas livnois, you're just doing stira to go and be makalkel to destroy something, so then kilkel is also awesome midraban. It's potter aval awesome. Anyway, so the point is, the obvious question is going to be, how does the Tanakhama allow you to go and take Peiris Mimokam Abchas? They're all Muktzah. Unless you say the mission goes according to Reb Shimon. We'll have to see Mechem the Gemara momentarily. Remeir Oimer. Remeir says something which is even more amazing. And that is, says Remeir, Af Poiches Lechatchil Ben Oitel. You're allowed to go with your own hands and remove some of the bricks. We're not talking about that the building partially collapsed. You are allowed to destroy part of the building by removing the bricks and then taking out the peiros. And of course the obvious question is, that's stira. Sokti Yomara, amai, v'akasasa ehola. He's being soser, he's destroying this building. And therefore it's either Issa Diraisa, it's Issa Drabanan. But how can you go and do that? That's not a mukta issue. This is a stira. And if you want to use the bricks for another building, Diraisa, it's stira almanas livnois. Soser almanas livnois. And if you're telling me we're talking about, nah, he just wants to destroy this building. He's not talking about building. Okay, so he's mekalkel. So how can a mayor permit that? We're talking about that this house was a house beautifully built and constructed. They just forgot one thing. I say the term forgot. Presumably it was intentional. But there is no cement or plaster between the bricks. It's a tower of bricks on all sides, but no cement, no plaster between the bricks. And therefore, Reb Meir holds, that's not considered to be soser. Soser would be if they had bricks which are plastered, which are cemented. But if it's just one layer of bricks on top of another layer of bricks, so I take out one layer of bricks and I can put them back. You know, it's that's not considered to be soser, and that's why it's permissible according to Remer, even l'chatchila. Ah, that being the case, now we understand the Tanakhama as well. When the Tanakhama said you can take noitum m'mokam apchas, the Tanakhama is talking about the same situation where it's avira de livni, that there is space between, there's air between all of the bricks because there is no plaster and there's no cement. So the Tanakhama won't go as far as the mayor to say you can remove the bricks to go and take out the payers. But if the bricks fell out, it's not mukza. I knew very well that this is not the sturdiest structure in town. There's no plaster, there's no cement. What's the likelihood that this is going to stay as a firm structure? Shmach. So therefore, there's no problem of mukta, and there's no problem of sira. According to Tanakhama, he's not being soyser at all. But even if there's a partial collapse because the wind blew some of the bricks out, and I took out the payers, no problem. It's not even considered to be mukta. Frank Dimar, you're telling me that it's avir de livni is gunish mit gunish. If there's no plaster, no cement, no problem. Any v'om Rav Nachman, hani livni de ayata mi binyana shori letultulinu bishabata. We have over here bricks which were left over at the building site. In other words, the builders, the contractor brought 1,000 bricks for this building, and they built and they built and they finished the building, and there were 25 bricks left over at the end which he did not need. Now there are two options now for the contractor or the builder. One option is he's going to collect all these bricks and take it on to the next construction site. Or he's going to say, it's not worth my time and my effort, I'm just going to leave it there. Okay, so depending on what the contractor does or says, that's whether it's you can be metalkel on Shabbos. Says Rav Nachman, livni de'ayatir mibinyan, bricks that were left over from the building. In other words, they're extra. Shari little talulim b'shabbat. You're allowed to go and pick them up and move them on Shabbos. Hoyul v'chazalim is galay. They are no longer muktzah machmas chisor and kiss, or perhaps even muktzah machmas isur. Why? Because the builder basically has been mafker them. He doesn't care about them. He doesn't want them anymore. He says, "Halavai, people should take them away. I shouldn't have to go and sweep it up and take them away." So you can go and pick them up because they have utility. What's the utility? Chazal mizgalayu. You can lean on them, you can sit on them, you can lie on them. In other words, these are extra bricks and you can use it for other purposes. Shraginu, however, if he stacked the bricks one on top of the other, ooh, then he's megaladas, that I'm going to go and pick these up on Sunday, I'm going to bring my U-Haul truck, and I'm going to haul away all these bricks to my next construction site. Oh, then they're mukta. Then vade aktsinu. Now, we're talking about over here, livni, these are bricks, even if they're stacked, but clearly there is no cement or plaster in between. By definition, we're talking about extra bricks that were not used. These are surplus bricks. So they were not used. There's no plaster. There's no cement. Yet it says that they are muktzah. So, here in this house, you've stacked the bricks one on top of the other. So it should also be muktzah. So how would the Tanakhama say, well, if some of them fell out, you can go and take the payers. How would Rav Meir allow you to go and be poiches l'chadchila? Don't you have a muktzah issue? Omer Zayin. B'yontav Omru, avaloi b'shabbos. Oh, there's a difference between yontav and shabbos. Our Mishnah is telling us that yontav is more kuladik. Shabbos is more chomor. Legabe hilchus muktzah. What's the reason why yontav is more kuladik? Says Rashi. Because since we're talking about over here, that the person wants to get the peiros. The peiros is for oichel nefesh. Well, we all know that famous pasuk that we've quoted numerous times in Masechtas Peah, that even though it says in the pasuk, kol malacha leisasu, leisasu kol malacha, acha sheyochel lechol nefesh, u levada yeyosu lechem, if it's oichel nefesh, it's mutter. The exact parameters of oichel nefesh depend, is it the oichel nefesh itself, is it the machshiri oichel nefesh, could you have done it before yomtiv, can you only do it on yomtiv? Yeah, all of those halachas. But we know that oichel nefesh is very important on yomtiv, so I want to take out those peiros, even though they are these bricks are stacked one on top of the other. And Rav Nachman said, oh no, no, if they're stacked, it's muktzah, that's for Shabbos. But for yontif, because of oichel nefesh, the chachamim said it's mutter. Rav Zeir b'yontif amrav loy b'shabbos. So therefore, there's no kasha anymore on Rav Nachman from our Mishnah, or from the way Shmuel explains our Mishnah. Bavir delivni, our Mishnah is talking about yontif. Rav Nachman's talking about Shabbos. Tanya Navi Haki, Taka, that's the pshat in the Mishnah. Rav Meir Imer af peiches lechatchila. Benoitel when b'yontif, b'yontif amru avaloi b'shabbos. Oh, ein achanam itak b'yontif and not b'shabbos. Nushtik, omishmur. Choysomish b'karka matir avaloi mafkia v'loi choytech. What a choysomish b'karka. So if you look at the first wide line of Rashi down below, chisamish bekarka, going to losois, pischei boirois, umaora hasegurim bekishrei chavolim. You have the same concept even today. You see in Manhattan, you see in Brooklyn, you see in different places where, for instance, you have a storekeeper, and in front of his store on Broadway, you might find that there are metal plates, and then from time to time, wow, those metal plates actually open up, and there's a staircase going down, and sometimes there's even some sort of primitive elevator that goes up and down to bring in produce, right? Produce has been brought in by the trucks, and there's no room in the store itself, so you take it down to the basement, so you open up these metal doors, and then you go and send the produce down, the merchandise down to the basement, you store it there, etc., etc. So you have these metal doors, and these metal doors have a chosam. Chosam over here doesn't mean a seal, but it means a rope that you use to go and tie it down to keep these closed. So what happens if I need access to that basement to open up the doors, and I have this rope which is attached to it? How am I going to get there? And I want to take out the payers because I want for yontif that there should be ample food for all of my guests, for the family. So what's the din now? Says Shmuel, chesamis shebekarka. This chesamis means the thick ropes which are holding down in place the doors in the karka. In other words, it's connected to the ground. Matir, what you can do is you can open up the ropes. In other words, open the tie. Avli mafkiv alei choytech. Mafkia would mean you cannot go and dismantle the rope. You can't go and pull the threads apart. And you cannot go and chotech, you're not allowed to go and cut it. But you're allowed to be matir. I'm sure all of you are thinking to yourselves, what? You're allowed to open up a rope? Just like kshira is asur on Shabbos and yontif. So opening up a kesher, that's the reason why you have to be so concerned with your shoes. If by accident, instead of making a bow, if you made a knot, oh no, I got all types of halachic issues. Does that mean do I have to sleep with my shoes? Does that mean I cannot put my shoes on Shabbos? I have to walk barefoot? Anyway, the point is, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have to be careful about a kesher. Yet Shmuel says, you're allowed to open them. No problem. Rashi says the reason is because they used to do this on a constant basis. The storekeeper, whoever needed access to down below in the basement, into the bar, into the mara, on a daily basis, he would open up multiple times. You see Rashi's second line? Matres a kesher, you're allowed to go and open up the kesher. Dolav kesher shkiyomu, it's not a permanent kesher. The hatit tamid wasi. Every day of the week he comes in and goes in, out, in. No, that's not a kesher shkiyomu. Therefore, it's not an issue, says Shmuel. But don't be mafkir.
Not as an issue?
I'm sorry?
Not as an issue?
Not as an issue. It's not an issue and not as an issue. Oh, very good. Okay, anyway, getting back to our Gemara. But don't be mafkir and don't be chotech. Rashi says, the reason why you can't be mafkir chotech. Mafkir means again to open up the fibers, open up the ropes, so that you're, in a sense, disassembling the rope. Or chotech, to go and cut it. That's also, says Rashi, because that's already soser. It's a stira, you're cutting it, you're breaking it, you're ruining it. No good. Rather just open up the knot. Simple, no problem. That's when you're talking about karka. Should be kalim. If you're talking about kalim, kalim means, for instance, if you have at home a nice vitrine, and that vitrine, that bookcase, has in it also a knot with chavolim, also with ropes to keep it tied. Today, of course, they have these little keys that you often lose, but in the good old days, or at least in our Gemara, we're talking about such a kli where the way you close the doors was to seal it with a rope. If it should be kalim, that already matter mafkia v'choitech, and Rashi says because of, like we've had before in the Gemara, ein binyan, the stira of the kalim, so therefore you can open it, you can cut it, you can go and disassemble the rope, no problem. Echad Shabbos v'echad Yontov. This Echad Shabbos v'echad Yontov goes on the Reisha of Shmuel. When Shmuel says, it goes on both. But particularly on the Reisha where he says, the Chesom Shev HaKarki, you can be Matir, but not Mafkir or Chotech. This is Sai Shabbos and Sai Yontov. Frankly, more amazing. Chesom Shev HaKarki. Oh, our case. Be Shabbos Matir. Avaloi Mafkir v'loi Chotech. That's the same as Shmuel said until now. But now adds the brisa, the yontif matir umafkia v'choitech. Oy, oy, oy. Choy is a starke kashin, Shmuel. Shmuel said, echad Shabbos v'echad yontif loy mafkia v'choitech. And now he's saying, the yontif matir mafkia v'choitech. Is a stira, or it's not a stira, it's a kasha on Shmuel, legabi hilchus yontif. Everyone of money, Reb Meir. That price is like Reb Meir of our Mishnah. The Reb Meir says the Omer Apachay Poiches Lachatchila Benoitel. He says you're allowed to be soiser because it's not a real stira. These are avira delivni. So here too, you can do the same stira because the purpose is to go and get to the food. Pliga Rabbanan Lein, the Rabbanan argue in our Mishnah, and the Rabbanan would argue with this price. Says Shmuel, I learn like the Rabbanan, that even on Yontif, you can only be Matir, but not Mafkia, and not Choytech. Freitimor, Pliga Rabbanan Lein, but Chesom Shebekarka, is there a Machloikis? But then you have another price. Moidim Chachom Lirameir, but Chesom Shebekarka, Shebeshabbos Matir, Avaloi mafkia avaloi choitech. That's like we've said until now. Beyond if the Chacham agreed to the mayor that you can be matter and mafkia and choitech. Is a shver on Shmuel. Shmuel said, Chaysam shebekarka, matir, avaloi mafkia avaloi choitech, echad Shabbos v'echad yontif. Is a shver on Shmuel from this price. Every the Gemara who the Yomer ki hai Tana says Shmuel, I have another Tana. The sign you will learn in the Brisa. Chaysam shebekarka matir avalei mafki avalei choytech when echad Shabbos v'yechad yontif. Okay, so Shmuel says that's my man the Yomer. That's what I said. Chaysam shebekarka makes the difference. Shabbos yontif, you can be matir but not mafki and not choytech. It's not like the Meir. It's not like the Rabbanan. But I hold like this new Brisa. Then the price continues on. Shebekli, if you're talking about Chaysom Shebekalim, what did Shmuel say about matar by the chaysam shebekelim. Shmuel shebekelim matir umafkia v'choiter echad Shabbos v'yechad yontif. You can do anything because there's no binyan v'stira by kelim. But what does the braisa say? Shebekli b'Shabbos matir avloy mafkia v'loy choiter v'yontif matir mafkia v'choiter. Says the Gemara, Teratz l'choresha, the resha is word for word like Shmuel. That's perfect. Ela seifa kasha, v'asam l'tom mitish mitaseifa. Says the Gemara, Mani Reb Nechemi, that Mir Tisham, we will learn tomorrow on Shabbos Kodesh. Any questions, Rabbi Say? Hearing none, I wish you all a